Would you pray with me? Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are the one who strengthens us and redeems us. Amen. I guess this is a day for minister-priest jokes. A priest and a pastor are standing by the side of a road, holding up a sign that reads, "The end is near, turn around before it's too late." A passing driver yells, "You guys are nuts," and then speeds past them, goes around the curve, and from beyond the curve, they hear screeching tires and a big splash. And the priest turns to the pastor and says, "Do you think we should just put a sign up that says, 'Bridge out ahead'?" We laugh. But don't some people try to get away with informing others, but they don't do the work to help them in ways that they need in order to be helped? In other words, we told you the end was near. Well, no, we didn't put something across the road to make you stop, but we told you the end was near. That's the way I think about this gospel passage from John today. It's misunderstood, I think, by many people. Many say that it's about just having faith in Jesus. Believe in Jesus, and you will be saved. But if we look at the words carefully again, we'll see that it's not necessarily saying that. Let me read parts of it to you again. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And in fact, will do greater works than these because I'm going to the Father." Now for generations, there have been those who have said that belief in Jesus was all that you needed to be saved. Works righteousness, which is the opposite of that, has been battled throughout the history of the church. What place does works play in someone's faith? Can you just believe in Jesus? No, you cannot. Works is the evidence of faith in Jesus. And Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." What he's saying is, do the things that I do. Live your life the way that I've lived my life. You see, the ministry of Jesus was a social ministry. It was about taking care of each other. I grew up in the time of the social gospel in the 50s and 60s. Although I don't remember the 50s because I was 5 years old when it turned to 1960. But the leaders of the movement were theologians like Paul Rauschenbusch, Richard and Reinhold Niebuhr, and there were many others. In many ways, it was a movement that sought to be faithful to living like Jesus. And then Christianity, the Christian pendulum, kind of swung a little bit more to liberation theology, which was in the 70s and 80s, maybe even early 90s. Well, no, not the 90s, but 70s and 80s. Liberation theology came out of Latin America, in South America, and spoke of God liberating the poor from the powers and death squads. And then the pendulum swung to the right as the moral majority and personal salvation took hold again. And then, in the past 10, 15 years, the pendulum's begun to swing a little bit back again with the historic Jesus movement, which sought to claim a connection between us and the historic human Jesus. And in many ways, that is a movement back to the social gospel. Now, those of you that have heard me preach for a while will know that my ministry, my preaching, is firmly entrenched in the social gospel. a movement that believes that work, the works we do for other people matters a great deal in our working out our faith. That great founder of Methodism, John Wesley, said it so wonderful. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, for as long as you can. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciples, you got to take up your cross and follow me. Elise McKenzie, in the Protestant blog, Patheos, in writing about today's gospel writing, writes about Jesus calling himself the way. I am the way. Of course, the I am part of that harkens back to when Moses said to ask God, no, who should I tell them that sent me? And God says, I am who I am, or I shall be who I shall be. But I am the way. And she says, wisdom in the book of Proverbs is often described as the way. The word suggests an action of treading or trampling and calls to mind a path worn by constant use. And the implication is that wisdom involves patterns of behavior, not just isolated acts. The purpose of this way is the formation of an interior disposition. The path is viewed as a gift of the guiding presence of God. We are to learn from the life lived by Jesus and live that life for ourselves. On this Mother's Day, I'm mindful of the fact that Jesus learned this as well from a life lived, besides that of God, but of his mother, Mary. Listen again to the words that she uttered when her pregnancy was affirmed by her cousin Elizabeth. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He's scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise that he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. A lot about God doing there, which would seem to kind of say then we ought to do as well. But now listen to Jesus in his first sermon at his home synagogue after he started his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. A lot of doing in that. Jesus learned from the life and the teachings of his mother and from God. And that life demanded good works, good actions. And I can honestly say today that I learned from lives lived. I've learned over the years from my study of scriptures, but I also learned from my mother the importance of doing good for other people. She taught me to be kind to others. She taught me about helping others. And there were a number of times that we sat and talked about things that were happening and what we could do to make them better, or whatever. I remember very clearly some of the things that she used to do for other people, especially when they were experiencing hardship. I firmly believe that my social gospel leanings were established in the words and the actions of my mother. I hope you have stories of your mother like that as well. Alice McKenzie shares a legend that goes like this, and this is a wonderful legend. Judas, after he had betrayed Jesus, found himself at the bottom of a deep abyss. He lay there for a couple of centuries, and then slowly began to stir and sit up. Looking up, he saw a faint light at the surface, miles above him, and he began to climb. Sometimes he would slip and fall back and spend a century or two regaining lost ground. Sometimes he rested, but he kept climbing. As he climbed, the light seemed to grow stronger, to glow more brightly. It seemed to energize him and to call to him. And he kept climbing, his limbs gaining strength the closer he came to the light. And after a couple millennia, he reached the top. His hands and body scraped and fatigued by the climb, he struggled to find a place to rest his hands, to hold up the weight of his body as he hauled himself through the opening at the top of the abyss. When he did, his muscles were shaking from fatigue with the effort. And he found himself in an upper room where a young rabbi was having supper with his friends. And the young rabbi turned and greeted Judas, his face glowing with pleasure. "Judas, welcome home. We've been waiting for you. We could not continue supper without you." Jesus' way teaches us that all people deserve respect and love. Jesus' way teaches us that we are to welcome the strangers, the outcast, as well as the wealthy and the powerful, but as equals. And that last point is something that's missing in a lot of our discourse today. Jesus' wisdom guides us to reach out to others and help them in their journey, to withhold our judgments. Judgment spoken out loud, or judgment spoken within, and to offer only love. Now, I'm not saying that's easy. I'm guilty of those things from time to time too. But the good news of the grace of God and of Christ is that if we keep trying, we'll get there. We'll be a little higher up on the ladder, like Judas. And God will forgive us for those times that we have done wrong. We claim Jesus' truth and gain new life for us when we follow in his footsteps, when we take up the cross and follow him. That's what we must learn from the life that he lived. Amen.